Instruction, the most confident. confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. And verse 65. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji ma namaskaru mame vaishyasi satyam te priti jane priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. In verse 66, Sarva Dharman Parichachya Mam ekam sharanam raja, aham tvam sarva pape pyo, moksha ishyami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Very important verses in Bhagavad Gita. I'll just read the first one again and we'll focus on that for a few minutes. Sarva guyatamam guya shunu me paramam vacha ishtosi me dhamiti tato vakshyami te tam. Because you are my very dear friend, I'm speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit.
Is gradually
comes to the end. And when he comes to the end, naturally, he brings everything to the focus. He brings everything to that final conclusion. What that book is all about? What is the message of this book of Bhagavad Gita? That's only natural. And Krishna, the fact that Krishna, having already discussed many subjects, is here at the end, bringing everything to the final conclusion and bringing out the essence and the final message, that fact is made very clear by Krishna in this statement, this very verse which we have just read right now, the first of these three verses. Sarva guhyatamam guhya. Guhya means something confidential, something very deep, and not just anybody can just understand it just like that. No, there's something very rich and very profound. This is guhya, something confidential and deep. But then there is, and Krishna uses this terminology in Bhagavad Gita, if you watch how he develops this theme, you'll see he uses this terminology. That first of all, he talks about certain knowledge which is guhyam, it is confidential. Then he develops it further, and he says, now I'm going to tell you some knowledge which is, the Sanskrit word is guhyataram. Guhyataram means more confidential, even deeper. That was in the 9th chapter. But now at the end, Krishna tells Arjuna, I am now going to give you knowledge which is guhyatamam. If you know a little bit about Sanskrit grammar, then you would know that guhyatamam means the most confidential, the deepest, the most profound. And even to make the point even more strongly, Krishna says, sarva guhyatamam. It is the most confidential of all knowledge. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya. Listen to my most confidential knowledge. Shrinu me means listen to me, listen to my, actually. Paramam means supreme, and vacha means words. I am now going to speak my supreme words, the supreme instruction of all instructions, the most confidential of all knowledge. So, shrinu me, listen to me, Krishna says. This makes sense, of course. It is quite reasonable, because as we said, and we all know that in any book, the subject matter is brought to the peak, the highest point at the end, of course. And that is only natural. So Krishna is doing just that right here. He is about to speak the supreme instruction, his supreme words. So like I mentioned, sometimes some people get a little confused about Bhagavad Gita because it is dealing with many subjects. In the first six chapters, Lord Krishna is discussing different forms of yoga. Jnana yoga, Sankhya yoga, Dhyana yoga, Karma yoga. Different forms of yoga. Then, from 7 to 12, chapter 7 to chapter 12, Krishna's mainly focusing on bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga. And describing different forms of sacrifice and other things like this. Then from chapter 13 to 18, Krishna is discussing a number of subjects. The three modes of material nature. What is the nature of consciousness? The divine nature, or people who have divine nature, people who have demoniac natures, they're described. This is from chapter 13 to 18. So in Bhagavad Gita there are many different subjects and many different processes are presented. Different forms of yoga, different forms of meditation, different forms of worship, different forms of austerity, different forms of prayer. As a result, some people become a little confused. And our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he expressed it very, I think, appropriately one time. Srila Prabhupada said that because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's discussing so many subjects, therefore, some people think that you can just take anything as you like. One person will take karma yoga, another person will take some process of meditation, another person will take some process of sacrifice. So some people, they think like that. We can just choose as we like. Bhagavad Gita is just offering many different alternatives. In this way, Srila Prabhupada, he said that some people, they think that Bhagavad Gita is like a spiritual box of assorted chocolates. If you get the idea. Assorted chocolates. One has toffee inside. Another one has nuts inside. Another one has some strawberry inside. You know what I mean. A box of assorted chocolates. And I may choose the one which has the peppermint inside. This I like. You may choose the one which has the strawberries inside. You like that one. But I don't like that one. I want the one with the peppermint inside. You get the idea. So, I say, the one with the peppermint inside is best. You say, the one with the strawberries inside is the best. But it's just a matter of our personal taste. That's all. You cannot say that the one with the peppermint is better than the one with the strawberry. You cannot say that. It is just a matter of personal taste. So some people, as we said, they feel that Bhagavad Gita is something like that, like a very spiritual box of assorted chocolates. And we will just choose our favorites. Our favorite process out of the many processes that Krishna is presenting. And in other words, these people think that Bhagavad Gita does not really have a specific message, one point, which is its focus. They think Bhagavad Gita is just, you know, presenting so many things, and it's up to you as you like. But here we see Lord Krishna is making it clear. Krishna himself. And he, of course, is the author the authority on Bhagavad Gita. And he is saying, no, I have said many things. They're all good. But now I'm going to tell you the best thing, the supreme thing. So, Shrinu Me, you listen to me. This is Krishna. Krishna is saying this, that Bhagavad Gita does have a particular point. It has a particular message, which is the supreme part of it, the best of it. So what is that? What is that final message, concluding supreme message of Bhagavad Gita? Well, we read those verses. Let us just look at them again. Verse 65, Krishna says, you must do four things. Manmana, think of me. Bhava, mad bhakto, become my devotee. Mad yaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your namaskars, offer your homage, glorify me like this. This is part. These are four aspects of Krishna's paramam vacha, his supreme words, his supreme instruction. Yes, we should think of him. We should think of God. We are thinking of so many things, aren't we? Our families, our bank balance, our house, our health, our job, perhaps. What's on TV tonight? The Bold and the Beautiful, or whatever. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. We have many things to think about. We have many things to think about. What's going to be on special at the Pick and Pay this weekend? So we have many things to think about. But Krishna says, Manmana, you think of me. We should think of God. He is glorious. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai is not glorious. The South African political situation is not glorious. You know, your job is not glorious. So rather than thinking of all these things, we should think of God. So how will we do that? How will we think of God? Well, we have to know something about God. We have to know something. This is why these scriptures are here. Like Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this beautiful picture of Mother Yashoda with baby Krishna on both sides here. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Mahabharat, these great literatures, there's so much information. Krishna did this, Krishna did that. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand. Krishna did so many things. So, we should find out about those things. In other words, we should read those books and not just sit in front of television every night. We should read those books. Then we can think of Krishna. Then we will be equipped to think of Krishna. And Baba Mad Bhakto, we should become his devotee. We should serve him, in other words. We are serving so many masters in this world, but we are not very happy. We're not very happy. I just came down from Johannesburg. In fact, I stepped straight off the airplane and came straight here. And as I was waiting in the airport in Johannesburg, I saw the latest Time magazine. I'm sure you men are familiar with Time magazine, big international news weekly magazine. And what was the cover story? Anxiety. Have a look next time you go to CNA, if you go there in the next couple of days. The cover story is anxiety. People are suffering so much anxiety. Why? Well, of course, there are a number of reasons, but one of them is that we are serving the wrong masters. We are serving the boss. When I say wrong, I mean they cannot help us. Only a little they can help us. They cannot help us to solve the problems of life, to make our lives perfect. They cannot help us. So therefore we serve the boss. But when we're serving the boss at work, we're thinking, you know, how much longer? Another 2 hours, then I can get out and go home. A few seconds. I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. You know something? I have not worked for money in 30 years. Actually, more. 31 years. I have not worked for 1 cent. Zero, honestly. But frankly, I can tell you, I'm very happy. I'm not thinking, what a fool I am to have taken advantage of me for so many years. I'm not thinking like that. Very happy serving Krishna. So we should all do that. At least we should do some service for Krishna. Then, Madhyaji, Krishna says, you should worship me. We are prone to worship. In the Hindu community, in the Indian community, they worship different gods, of course, but very popular, they worship the movie stars, isn't it? Am I right? Amitabh Bachchan. Raji Kapoor, what about Madhuri Dixit? Am I right? They worship you all. You know, I remember maybe 10 years ago or something, Amitabh Bachchan came to South Africa. You remember that? Amitabh Bachchan came. He came to the Checkers Center by our temple in Chatsworth, you know, the big Checkers Center. I was there that day. I remember in 5 minutes the entire population of Chatsworth was at the Checkers Center. You couldn't move. All the roads were blocked. In minutes, just like that, for Amitabh Bachchan. But what can Amitabh Bachchan do for you? I mean, really, to actually help you. He may make you laugh and smile in the movies, but what does that really do for you of value? Nothing. Actually, Amitabh Bachchan, he's a nice fellow. He's a friend of our movement. We have nothing against him. But it is just a fact that we are worshipping people like this. But what can they do for us? They need help themselves. So Krishna says, Madhyaji, you worship me. He can help us. He is helping us. He's giving us everything. He's given us our bodies. What to speak of other things? He's giving us everything. And he can give us more if we approach him in the right way. He's just waiting for that. If we approach him in a humble mood to serve him, he'll give us everything. And then he says, Mam Namaskuru, which We should offer our homage. We should glorify him, offer our respects, our namaskaras. We should offer those things to him. So these four things, thinking of him, serving him, worshipping him, glorifying him, these four things, they are parts of this Paramam Vacha, supreme instruction, higher than the other instructions. Yes, coming here at the end of Bhagavad Gita. And now I'll just say a little bit before concluding about the last of these three verses, Sarvadharma Parijaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishami Vashucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is the rest of that supreme instruction. And this is very important. And it's very important to understand it. Otherwise, just this can confuse you. So he is saying, Sarva Dharma, all other dharmas, Parichyaja, abandon. You can leave those. You can put them aside. Which dharmas is he referring to? Which forms of religion or which religious processes or practices? He is referring to all the other processes which he has just mentioned prior to this in the rest of Bhagavad Gita. All those forms of yoga, all those forms of meditation, all those forms of sacrifice, and so on and so on. Now that he's explained them all that karma yoga, jnana yoga, sankhya yoga, dhyana yoga, this puja, that prayer, all these different things, now Krishna's saying, sarva dharma, all those dharmas, parichaya, you can put them aside and accept another dharma, a higher, the highest dharma. What is that? Mam Ekam Sharanam. Now, if you understand Hindi, you would understand that. It's very simple, a very simple statement. Mam Ekam. Right? Sharanam. Take refuge in me only, Eka. We all know this. We all understand this. Yes. So we should take refuge in Krishna, putting aside the other dharmas, focus on him. By doing these four things, thinking of him, serving him, worshipping him, glorifying him. And what will the result of that be? Aham Tvam Sarva Pap. I will take all your pap, all your sin. And what will happen to you? Moksha. Moksha Yishyami. You'll be liberated. Ma Shucha. You don't fear. You don't need to fear. So, sometimes people think that Krishna is being sectarian, narrow-minded by making this statement. But Krishna is not so foolish that he would become narrow-minded, sectarian, you know, not thinking in a mature or proper way. So we should understand what he is saying. First of all, we should know he is not saying that all those other forms of dharma, all those other forms of yoga and so on, meditation, he is not saying that they are all nonsense. He's not saying that they are all nonsense. Even Christianity and other things like that, he is not saying that these are all nonsense, therefore put them aside. No, what he is saying is that this is Paramam Vacha. This is the supreme. This is the supreme form of Dharma. And when you have the supreme thing in your hand, then why give it up for something less? Of course. If you have a million rands, why give it up for 100,000? Keep the million rands, it's all right. So like this, this is Krishna's supreme instruction, the supreme instruction of God himself, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhagavan is speaking. Yes, not just anybody, somebody. So this is the highest level of dharma. Not that the other processes are wrong. They are not wrong. They are right. But this is the highest form. This is the most confidential, profound understanding. This is the supreme instruction, the supreme level of dharma, and the message and conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, that we should focus on Krishna. Mam Ekam Sharanam. And take shelter in him, and think of him, and serve him, and worship him, and glorify him. And Krishna said, if you do that in the second of these three verses, Mam a Vaishyasi, then you will come to me in the kingdom of God. Mam a Vaishyasi, you will come to me. Mam a Vaishyasi Satyam. I'm telling you the truth. Satyam eva jayate. Prati jane, I promise you this. This is verse 65. I promise you this. Krishna is guaranteeing. So, it's very nice we're all gathered for the glorification of Krishna. And let us try and take heed of this message of Bhagavad Gita, this final conclusion, the final message, what everything else in Bhagavad Gita is leading up to. That we surrender to Krishna, serve Krishna, become Krishna conscious, as we call it, and in this way perfect our lives. Hare Krishna. Now, I don't want to keep you too long, and we have a few questions here. What should I do, actually? Should I answer a few questions? A few questions, 5 minutes, just give me 5 minutes. Oh, here's a slightly controversial, slightly political question. I think you'll like it. How come you are not of Indian origin? That's me. But you are worshipping an Indian god. I am confused. Please help me understand. Well, I'll try. So, what do you think? Do you think Krishna is an Indian god? Krishna himself says, Aham bija prada pita. I am the seed-giving father of all the Aham sarvasya prabhavo. From me, everything is coming. All spiritual worlds, all material worlds. Everything is coming from me. And anyone who understands this surrenders to me and serves me. Yes. So Krishna is for everyone. It is a misconception that Krishna is just Indian and only for Indians. He is completely universal. And you know what? He is the best thing that India has to offer the world. You know, India can offer the world what? Computer software, right? In Bangalore, they're making lots of computer software in India. This is something India's offering the world. India is the greatest producer of bikes, you know, pedal bikes, push bikes, in the world. India has Bollywood to offer the world. But you know, the best thing that India has to offer the world is Krishna. He is the best thing. And if you offer that, if you offer Krishna to the world, then the world will appreciate so much. And it will help the world so much. So much. Yes. Because unfortunately, somehow due to political, historical circumstances and so on, you know, it's all become narrowed down to India. But actually it's broad. And even we understand the culture covered the whole world at one time. Yes. You know, our movement is all over the world. And some of our devotees from Georgia, it was part of the communist USSR down near the Black Sea, somewhere down there. If you've heard of that, it's now a separate country, Georgia. In Georgia, recently was found like the ruins of an old temple, and inscribed in the rock that the temple was built of were Sanskrit statements, like this one we all said at the beginning, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We offer our obeisances to the Supreme Lord, Vasudev Krishna. So the culture was all over the world at one point, but due to historical circumstances and so on, it's become narrowed down to India. But actually it is for the whole world. So don't feel shy. Don't feel shy about it. Tell the world. Let them know. Okay, let's see. You know, we've got a controversial one here about meat eating. I don't know if I'll answer that. Let's see. Oh, this is the last one. I'll just answer this one. Hindus worship many gods. You are telling there is only one God. Who do I believe now? My parents have worshipped many gods. Well, with all the greatest of respect to your parents, if it were a matter in some, you know, sort of deep discussion, not an easy discussion, a deep discussion, we had either what your parents said or what Krishna says. Who is more likely to be able to give the best answer? Well, I would say Krishna. I think that is very clear. Vridi Sanavishto, Mata Smriti Agyanam Adhvanam Cha. I'm in everyone's heart, and from me is coming knowledge, from Krishna. So your parents, me, you, everybody, whatever knowledge we have is coming from God, ultimately. Yes. But then in our cases, we have our minds, and sometimes our minds mess things up and we misunderstand. But Krishna is the source of all knowledge. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the point that Mata Parataram Nanyat, there is no truth superior to me. Mata, than me. Parataram, superior to. Na, anyat. There is no other truth superior to me, Krishna says. So it's something like in a government. You have the president and various departmental ministers and then their staffs and all that. So Krishna is like the president. And then you have other people in charge of different departments, like Indra. Indra is in charge of the rain department, the water. Lakshmi is the minister of finance. She's the goddess of fortune. Saraswati is the minister of education. She's the goddess of learning. Like this. But Krishna, he's like the president. Okay, I think I'll finish there. I hope I haven't held you for too long, but thank you very much for listening very patiently. And now, we'll conclude the program, yes? We'll conclude our program with Guru Puja, worship of the spiritual master, worship of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. You can see just next to the altar there is one little brass deity of Srila Prabhupada. So we'll offer worship to him. Hare Krishna.